time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Hi, listening friend. It's Tuesday, December 10th, 2013. I have another radio special in store for you. Yesterday, you heard from Elizabeth George on Faith, Hope, and Love, a Christmas special. Well, today, as I still recover from my cold, I'm going to broadcast a special by Max Lucado titled God's Redeeming Story. It's a Christmas special, and I know you'll be encouraged and blessed by his message. Referencing Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We certainly celebrate the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ during the season, but he came to make a way to Father God as he forgives us of our many sins. Well, in just a moment, you're going to hear from Max Lucado along with Jim Sanders. May today's broadcast be a reminder that God has prepared a place for you. Let God do his work, and you'll get through everything. Here's Max Lucado.
God's Redeeming Story, a Christmas presentation with author and pastor Max Lucado.
This is Max Lucado. The sounds of Christmas come wrapped in different packages, don't they? But in this joyous season, not everyone is joyous. For some, the test reports came back negative. For others, home feels far away. You never studied the vocabulary of crisis. You feel all alone. Expectations dashed, friends vanished, husband gone. Who's left? God is. Some of the saddest words on earth are, "We don't have room for you." Jesus knew the sound of those words. He was still in Mary's womb when the innkeeper said, "We don't have room for you." When he was hung on the cross, wasn't the message one of utter rejection? "We don't have room for you in this world." Even today, Jesus is given the same treatment. He goes from heart to heart, asking if he might enter. Every so often, he's welcomed. Someone throws open the door of his or her heart and invites him to stay. And Paul gives this great promise in Colossians 1:14, "For he has rescued us and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have been redeemed."
This is Jim Sanders with author and pastor Max Lucado. And Max, I'd like to start talking about Christmas and some of our disappointments by asking you, what was your worst Christmas gift? Do you remember?
One of my worst Christmas gifts was a box of stationery that I received in the fourth grade. You know, in elementary schools, they'll do this thing where you pull a name out of a hat, and you got to keep it quiet and not tell anyone.
Secret Santa.
Secret Santa, yeah. Well, who wants to give a kid stationery? I don't write letters when I'm 9 years old. And I've often thought, what were they thinking? The girl's name was Carol. She had sweet freckles and pigtails, but don't let her appearance fool you. She was out to get me. I know what that must have been. It was a re-gift. It could have been Bic pens. It could have been tube socks, but she chose stationery. It's whatever was in the closet that morning,
right,
when she told her mom, "Oh, I'm supposed to get Max a present for Christmas." So that's what I ended up with.
And yet how prophetic, as a writer, you would get stationery in the fourth grade.
Isn't it funny that I still remember that? I can still see the little cowboy riding a horse and lasso on the front. I was mad at her.
That actually illustrates a good point, Max, and that is, for a lot of people, there are some difficult memories around the holidays. It can be a really tough time of the year.
I'm going to date myself in telling you this, but there was a old country western song by Merle Haggard, "If We Make It Through December." It's a great song. And basically the point is, everything is worse. The bad is worse at Christmas. The good is better. If you're unemployed at Christmas, it's tougher in December than it would be in November. If you're sick at Christmas, it's just hard. You know, if you're by yourself, it's one thing to be by yourself in the month of June, but December, if we just get through December, December can bring out the toughest of the tough.
Why is that?
We have expectations that December's going to be a month of joy. That's what all the Christmas songs say, joy to the world. You know, it's going to be a happy time. But if you're passing through a tough time, Christmas reminds you of what you've lost or do not have. And so maybe last Christmas your husband was still alive, but now he's gone. Or maybe last Christmas you had an idea what your career was, but now you don't. Or maybe last Christmas you were healthy, but this Christmas you're not. And so it just amplifies the difficulty that you're passing through. I'm thinking, for example, of a dear friend in our congregation whose husband is in Afghanistan. You know, San Antonio is a very predominantly military city, and in our church we have many people in the military. And looking out over the congregation, I see her with her three children. I'm used to seeing him and her, but now he's been deployed to Afghanistan. And when I visited with her recently, she just talked about how difficult the holidays are. She does her best to make the best of them. But here's a situation where she wonders, is her husband going to come back? How can she get through? How's it going to impact the kids? And so December becomes a tough month, a burdensome month. And for many people, they all almost get to the point where they say, let's just get through it. Let's just get past it. You know, just get by it. I just want to get it done and over with.
I've heard from some singles that the holidays are particularly difficult. Celebrations are typically designed for couples, and they're often left out. Lost parent at the holidays, first holiday without a spouse, whether it's due to divorce or perhaps the death of a spouse. How do you tell them you'll get through this?
Well, what if we were to let Christmas be what Christmas really is, and that's a celebration of Jesus Christ? Lower our expectations to match the reality that Jesus himself encountered when he was born. I mean, look at the austerity into which Christ entered the world. His family was far from home. They didn't have a place to sleep. They were simple people. They had the first few days of the life of Jesus in a stable. What a message that this gives those who are passing through tough times, that the very reason we celebrate Christmas is because Jesus was willing to enter our tough times. Could it be that God is permitting a person to pass through a tough December because he wants us to see what he passed through to love us? And maybe the greatest gift of this Christmas is not being with a loved one or being with a group of people. Maybe this is the Christmas you begin to see Jesus in a new way.
Max, I remember many years ago asking God somewhat foolishly to please give me wisdom without having to go through the trials that bring it. Is that possible? Or is the only way God grows us up is through trials?
Well, yeah, I guess God can do whatever he wants, but the one person, as we know, who got that prayer answered, Solomon, seems like he was given the wisdom, but the maturity didn't quite kick in.
That's right.
And so wisdom, true wisdom, involves a sense of maturity and time and testing. God is in the business of developing his people. He really is. And when we forget that all of life is a test, then we have expectations of God that are unfair. We expect there to be no problems or no struggles, that we'll be oblivious or protected to any type of danger or troubles that come to other people. God never makes those promises. And we are wise to see that everything in our life is intended to prepare us for something. And I would like to add to that that even the preparation is for heaven, that we're being equipped for our eternal life, that we're learning things right now on this earth that are going to equip us for our eternal life. I really don't understand how you can see struggle apart from heaven. If you have no heaven in your worldview, then yeah, this is a tough life. But if you can see that everything in life is just like a boot camp, or it's preparing us for some assignment that's coming, then, well, our sufferings take on a more acceptable tone.
Someone listening right now is looking at the weeks ahead, Christmas and New Year's, and thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this. What do I say to my kids? What do I say to my friends? They don't know about this. This diagnosis looks like I may not have long to be on this earth. What do you say to them as to how they get through, in particular, these holidays? How do they go through that boot camp in preparation for what's ahead?
First of all, let me just say it. You will get through this. You really will. Through is one of the most common words in the Bible. The promise in Psalm 23, the shepherd walks me through the valley of the shadow of death. Isaiah talks about God walking us through the waters and through the floods. Jesus on the cross got through the struggle and was brought out of the tomb into resurrection light. God gets us through things. So just receive that. Here's my concern, and that is we get ourselves in situations of despair. And despair is when we think we will not get through it, that the shouting will never stop, or the struggle will never pass, or the depression will never lift, that it never will. And in that posture, it is a very difficult place to be. So reach out by faith and just say, okay, I'm going to get through this. May not be quick, may not be painless, but God will use this mess for something good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive. You see, we often take short-term solutions to long-term problems, and we try to drink a problem away or sleep it away with an inappropriate situation or try to numb the pain, and really that creates more problems. So just hang in there and know that God will use this for something good.
Let's talk to the church, Max. There are more than one pastor listening to us at this moment. What does the church need to do as part of this process of recognizing they will get through this? You will be able to survive what God's put on your plate.
We have a phenomenal opportunity as a church during the month of December. For one thing, all the radio stations are playing our songs. Another thing, people's hearts are turned toward God. I know there's commercialism. I know there's shopping. I know there's advertisements, and it's just everywhere. But in the midst of that, there is this conversation taking place in the subconscious of our society that says God became flesh, away in the manger, silent night, holy night, hark the herald angels sing. There's this conversation taking place, and at some point, you got to believe that every person, even the most hard-hearted Scrooge, thinks, could that be true? Could that be true? And what does that mean? And so we as a church have an opportunity to articulate the great love of God for His people, for the whole planet. And this is the greatest privilege I think the church has during Christmas. But in addition to, of course you'd expect me to say that because I'm a preacher, you know. But for those who don't have the opportunity to conduct a Christmas Eve service and tell the sermon, even more importantly, we live out the message of Christmas. We live it out. Find somebody in your world who's having a tough December. Help them through it. Find somebody in your cul-de-sac or dormitory or apartment building. Find somebody you know who doesn't have a place to go this Christmas. And just be their friend. Just accompany them through this. You may be the gift that they're waiting on. And by the way, if you're having a tough December, the quickest way to turn it into a good one is to help someone else.
I can't think of many things that would be more evangelistic than expressing the love of Christ to someone who doesn't know Him and say, I will help you get through this.
And the beauty of that is that it lifts us up out of the pit of self-pity, right? When we're passing through a tough time, it helps us to count our own blessings. When we volunteer at some soup kitchen or an organization that reaches out to the poor, I mean, you can't have a day of being kind to somebody during the holidays in that kind of circumstance and still feel sorry for yourself.
With all the pressures of running a church, being a senior pastor, authoring, family, do you ever remember for you, Max, personally, a Christmas where you thought, boy, I wish this season was over. I'm not sure I can get through this.
Well, we pastors tend to have challenging Christmases, especially if you have a lot of Christmas Eve services and then you have many events to go to. It takes a deliberate decision on the part of those involved in church leadership to say, okay, now remember what this season is for. But you know, all of us can do that. All of us can get so sucked up in the activities, in the busyness, in the parties, and in the events that we forget to take time to remember what the season is for. So here's what I encourage you to do. It doesn't have to be complex, doesn't have to be elaborate. And it really doesn't have to be long, but just make sure that every day in the 7 days leading up to Christmas, that you have a few moments to reflect on the Christmas story. You can do this however you want, maybe by listening to your favorite hymns, maybe by rereading the birth narratives from the Gospels, maybe by listening to a lesson or a sermon, download something or listen to it on a television program. But do something every day to make sure you're remembering what the purpose of the season was for. I think that while the name of Jesus is prominent during December, the work of the devil is prominent too. And he wants to always distract us, but he especially wants to distract us from the story of Christmas.
Max, when I hear you describe those means of getting through the holidays, of focusing on the Lord, focusing on the Christmas story, is that what you mean when I've heard you say, let God do his work?
Absolutely. We need to believe that what happened in the great incarnation of Christ in Mary still happens in us. I don't think we think about this enough. Mary is a model for all of us. Just as Jesus was placed within Mary, the mother of Jesus, grew and grew and grew until he had to come out. In like manner, when we say yes to Jesus, he is placed within us. The very presence of Christ is placed within us. I love this discussion because immediately we step away from Christianity as just another self-help program. And realize that what Jesus offers is God help. He comes inside us and he grows and he grows and he grows until he has to come out. This is what I mean when I say the work of God. God's goal is to change Max day by day, year by year, decade by decade, more and more into the presence and the image of Christ. I know I look like an impossible project, but not to God. He says, you know what, I'm going to go move in and I'm going to take up residence within him. And when we say, this is the work of God, this is what I'm talking about. It can take a long time. It can take a lifetime. But you know what? You just got to let God do his work. Let him grow. Let him develop within you. This means dealing with some of the difficult things in life. For example, Ephesians 4:26 says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Colossians 3:13, as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And this is hard to do. It's not easy. In fact, sometimes we say, really? Really? I'm supposed to forgive somebody who's hurt me? Especially in the area of family pain, because family pain is the deepest. It was afflicted so early. It involves people who should have been trustworthy. You were too young to process the mistreatment. You didn't know how to defend yourself, and the perpetrators were so large. Your dad, your mom, your uncle, your big brother, they towered over you, usually in size and always in rank. And at this time of the year, at Christmas, when we're brought back face to face with some of these memories and sometimes these people, we wonder how we're going to get through this. We remember how they judged us falsely, how they called us stupid or slow or dumb. And decades later, these voices of defeat still echo in our subconscious. But listen, they don't have to. They don't have to. Romans 12:2 encourages us to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Why don't you do that? Why don't you let this season be the time you allow him to replace the childish thinking that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 13:11 with mature truth? You're not who they said you were. You are God's child, his creation, destined for heaven. You're part of his family. When my friend was 6 years old, her mother ran off with another man, leaving her to be raised by a good-hearted dad who knew nothing about dolls and dresses or dates. The father and the daughter stumbled through life, and you know, they made the best of it. But recently, the mom reappeared, and she requested a coffee date with my friend, and she apologized. She said, I'm sorry for abandoning you. And now the mom wants to re-enter the world of her daughter. My friend's first thought was, that's it? I'm supposed to forgive her? Seems too easy. Doesn't the mom need to experience what she gave the daughter? A few years wondering if she'll see her daughter again? Some pain-filled nights, a bit of justice? How do we reconcile the pain of the daughter with God's command to forgive? Isn't some vengeance in order? Well, of course it is. In fact, God cares about justice more than we do. Paul said, never pay back evil for evil, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. You see, vengeance is God's. He will repay. We fear that the evildoer will slip into the night unknown and unpunished, escape to Fiji and sip Mai Tais on the beach. Not to worry. Scripture says God will repay, not he might repay. God will execute judgment on behalf of truth and fairness, whether ultimately on the day of judgment or intermediately in this life. He can discipline your abusive boss. He can soften your angry parent. He can bring your ex to his knees or her senses. Forgiveness doesn't diminish justice. It just entrusts it to God, and he guarantees the right retribution. We give too much or too little, but the God of justice has the precise prescription. Unlike us, God never gives up on a person. Never. Long after we've moved on, God is still there, probing the conscience, stirring conviction, always orchestrating redemption. Fix your enemies? That's God's job. Forgive your enemies? That's where you and I come in. We forgive. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans. God has plans. He's plotting for our good. And all the setbacks and slip-ups, he is ordaining the best for our future. For you today, perhaps to get through this is to get through raging loneliness or strength-draining grief. You sleep alone in a double bed. You walk the hallways of a silent house. You catch yourself calling out his name or reaching for her hand. The separation has exhausted your spirit. You feel quarantined and isolated. The rest of the world has moved on. You ache to do the same, but you can't. You can't say goodbye. And it's difficult, especially this time of year. In 2008, Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife, Mary Beth, lost their beautiful 5-year-old daughter in an automobile accident. The Chapmans were deluged by messages of kindness. One conversation in particular gave Stephen strength. My friend Greg Laurie, who had lost his son in an accident, told Steve, remember, your future with your daughter will be greater than your past with her. Death seems to take so much. We bury the wedding that never happened, the golden years we never knew. We bury dreams. But listen, in heaven, these dreams will come true. God has promised a restoration of all things, and all things includes all relationships. Our final home will hear no goodbyes. They're gone forever. Why don't you let this promise change you? Let this promise strengthen you. From sagging to seeking, from mournful to hopeful, from dwellers in a land of goodbyes to a heaven of hellos. You will get through this. When people junk you in the pit, you will stand up. God can use this for good. When family members sell you out, you will climb to your feet. God will recycle this pain. Falsely accused, utterly abandoned, we may stumble, but we do not fall. Why? Because we believe Ephesians 1:11. God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Everything means everything. No exceptions. Everything in your life is leading to a climactic moment, which Colossians 1:20 says, Jesus will reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Listen, you will get through this. Not because you're strong, but because he is strong. Not because you're good, but because God is good. And he has a place, a house prepared for you. In the mystery of Christmas, we find its majesty. The mystery of how God became flesh, why he chose to come, and how much he must love His people. It was an ordinary night with ordinary sheep and ordinary shepherds. Then the black sky exploded with brightness. Trees that had been shadows jumped into clarity. Sheep that had been silent became a chorus of curiosity. One minute the shepherd was dead asleep, the next he was rubbing his eyes and staring into the face of an angel. The night was ordinary no more. The angel came in the night because it's when lights are best seen and when they are most needed. It all happened in a most remarkable moment, a moment like no other. God became man. Divinity arrived. Heaven opened and placed her most precious one in a human womb. God had come near.
You've been listening to God's Redeeming Story, a Christmas special with Max Lucado. For your encouragement, you can download a free copy of a chapter from You'll Get Through This at youllgetthroughthis.com. Now here's Max with this final thought.
Let God do His work. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But with God's help, you will get through this.
Yep, may we all let God do His work, and may we allow Him to work in and through us. And you'll get through this. For more information, stop by youllgetthroughthis.com, youllgetthroughthis.com. And I certainly hope you'll come out this Saturday and see the Singing Men of GNN for a free concert at the Marketplace Mall at noon in the food court. Invite all your friends and family members and come join us for a great Christmas concert with the Singing Men of GNN dressed in their tuxedos. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.